Again, this is Joe Pasquini, and the special overtime with Nick and Bob, it's special to me. The spotlight year for me, 1992. That's the first year when I started at KSRO. I have been here for some of the biggest stories since then. Not all of them, but some of them. I was here when O.J. Simpson's story began. I was sitting right here when the news broke about Princess Diana and her accident. It was probably a different chair, but I was hosting Sports Talk Saturday, which the main host was Pete Walker, the sports talker, and for whatever reason that day, I was here by myself hosting the show, and I was stinking up the place, and Alex Stone brought in the breaking news, and that was in August of 1997. In the late 90s, I worked the graveyard shift monitoring Art Bell. During those shifts, I worked prep for the morning show for the legend Jim Grady. I was the one that made him look so smart. The first part of the century, teamed with Brian Hudson in the high school football game of the week, playing the John Mann role. In this decade, I was the studio host when Dave Cox was doing the same thing. But most of the time, I'm behind the scenes. Like this morning with Mike Kelly on the Real Estate Show, which I've done for about the last 10 years. And when the Warriors and the Raiders are on, which they happen to be on tomorrow, so Merry Christmas to me. That all began in 1992, but that wasn't the only big event that happened this year. A bigger one happened on November 23rd. My first of two kids was born. His name is Andrew, and that's why this is a special moment for me on Overtime with Nick and Bob. Andrew, welcome to KSRO.
That was a great intro.
Did you like that?
Yeah, you told me before you weren't very good at the scripted, but I think that was, you know, you stumbled a little bit, but you know, that was pretty good. Weren't you here for like a 4.0, 5.0 earthquake at like 3 in the morning?
The one in Napa, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, we broke the news on that, and I was also the first one here for the Middletown fire 3 or 4 years ago when that broke open, and I was here partly for the one that we had 2 months or 3 months ago, but I wasn't here as much as I wanted to, let's put it that way.
There was an earthquake, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was in Napa, 4.0.
I remember that, yeah. Yes. I mean, with what unfortunately happened in October, you kind of forget about that earthquake, you know?
Yeah, well, that's true. And, you know, the reason I wasn't here that much in October, we were a little busy evacuating,
yes,
you
yes.
know? But anyway, Andrew, thank you. It's great to have you here. Merry Christmas to you, and Merry Christmas to everybody. It's about family, and this doesn't get much familier than this. I don't know which way we're going to go. I have a feeling as the day goes along, we're going to be talking about the 49ers. With Nick and Bob, we're used to talking about the Raiders, right?
But we could talk about the Raiders a little bit, just about how they're not as good as the Niners.
Yeah, that will definitely come up. And already, Nick and Bob, I want to say I inherited my sports from my dad, and I also inherited his teams, Niners, Warriors, Giants, and Stanford. And I'm pretty happy that Andrew is a chip off the old block from that, except college. I like Stanford. He likes Florida State.
I like Stanford, though.
Yeah, it's not a big rivalry here. We were waiting for them to play each other in one of those bowl games. But he did scare me about 10 or 15 years ago. You act like you were a Raider fan for a while.
Jerry Rice.
Right. And at least they let Jerry Rice wear his number 80.
Unlike in Denver when they tried to get him to wear 18.
And I'm still thinking that's why he retired. He couldn't wear 80 anymore.
I was gonna say on the Niners, you know, talking about the things you were here for, 94, the Niners won a Super Bowl. And Super Bowl 53, you're going to be here when the Niners win their next Super Bowl because Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. Well, you know, another interesting thing about that, in 96 on that sports talk show, we picked the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year, and I picked Green Bay to beat New England. And that's exactly what happened that year. And they even had the tape in the Super Bowl. So out of tradition for that, I did the same thing this year. I don't think that's
Green Bay, New England?
Yeah, I did that at the beginning. Obviously, it's not going to happen this year. It wasn't my fault Aaron Rodgers got hurt.
The NFL is a very quarterback-driven league, isn't it?
Yeah, and we're seeing that. But then we go ahead and talk about the 49ers. We're both 49er fans, and if you would have told me a month ago that, number one, we now have a debate who might be the best team in the Bay Area. The Raiders were kings a month ago, month and a half ago. And, you know, I said something before the Washington game on overtime with Nick and Bob that the Raiders might be the best team in football. And I'm sure my dad, he hated the Raiders. He just hated the Raiders. And I'm sure my dad was turning over his grave when I said that. But now he's probably happy because since then, I might have jinxed them. They haven't been worth a dang.
My Super Bowl pick was the Seahawks over the Raiders. And both of them, I mean, the Seahawks are beating the Cowboys right now. So, but going into today, if they had lost, they were eliminated, correct? I think the winner. No, the
Seattle,
winner.
Seattle-Dallas loser is out. And it is 21-12 in that game. Seattle leads Dallas with 8 minutes to go, although Dallas is in the red zone. Ooh. But, yeah, the winner of that game is out of the playoffs. But, and speaking of, at 1:15 today, I got a tweet. And last time at this week, Nick was talking about we're going for the miracle that the Raiders were going to make the playoffs. And the Raiders were officially eliminated from the playoffs today. So the Raiders play tomorrow and next Sunday, and then that's it.
So is it too far of a stretch to say Jimmy Garoppolo is the best quarterback in the Bay Area?
Well, you know, they just had an interesting graphic the game, right? Drafted the same year. Derek Carr was drafted before Jimmy, and that's sort of interesting to play on. And, you know, when that trade went down here on overtime, I made a statement, don't get too excited. The Niners are trading with New England. Something is not quite right with that, but so far it looks so good. I mean, it's exciting again.
Yeah, and going back to the 2014 first five quarterbacks, I actually wrote it down. I looked it up. Third pick in the draft was Blake Bortles. He's on the third best team in the AFC, Jacksonville Jaguars. 22nd pick, Johnny Manziel, how's he doing? 32 is Teddy Bridgewater, and he was decent. Yeah. He had the unfortunate knee injury.
Right.
36 was Derek Carr, and 62, Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. And so just seeing that the two, I mean, is it too early to say franchise quarterbacks for Garoppolo? Is it quite yet? You know, we don't know the contract situation. I have a feeling he's going to be in San Francisco or Santa Clara for a while.
At least another year, right?
Franchise tag. I have a feeling he'll be here for quite a long time.
This is where the other part of the combination comes with the Niners is I've never been sure that the ownership really cares if they're winning or not. It's getting money. They got their stadium. They're really happy about all that. But hopefully the ownership makes the right move, and this guy's our quarterback for a long time. The Niners quarterback for a long time.
I think the ownership, Jed York, finally realized the errors in his way. And I think really with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, they're going to be the decision guys now. I don't think York's stepping in anymore.
I want to mention, too, this season has a lot – reminders to 1980 for old-time Niner fans. The Niners went 6-10 that year. It was the second year behind Bill Walsh, and then they won the Super Bowl the next year. But before Eddie DiPartolo hired Bill Walsh, he wasn't liked either. Now, the Yorks have had a heck of a long time than Bartolo did to turn things around. So let's see what happens. But, you know, they were imagining they've got a home field advantage in San Francisco. They really got a big break today because it's cloudy outside, so it's not 90 degrees over on this, you know, in the sun part of the field.
Yeah, and it's just, I said it earlier, the importance of a quarterback in the NFL with Garoppolo and just seeing the Niners go out and get him. It shows they're going for something. They have some sort of a strategy going into the season with Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley as your two quarterbacks. Now you got hopefully a franchise quarterback, a future quarterback.
He sure looks like. He looks like good. A quarterback. And he does. I don't know. I'm not sure how quick he is or anything like, but he sure can throw the ball. And he stands up tall in the target. Obviously, in the last month, things have really changed of the atmosphere of the 49ers. So no doubt about that.
Going into the season, I said at the very best, you know, the defense is young. The offense probably not going to be great. Stinking 6-10 at the best. And then I watched week one. Got to about halftime against the Panthers. I think they were down 21-0. I'm like,
wasn't pretty.
Oh, yeah, they're not good.
Yeah,
I forgot about that part.
And now people are saying, what if we would have had this quarterback at the beginning of the season? Maybe they'd be in the playoffs.
It's funny you say that, because week two through week six, the NFL broke a record.
Right.
Or the Niners broke a record. Most consecutive losses within 3 points. At Seattle, 12-9. Los Angeles on that Thursday night shootout, 41-39. Week four, right. At Arizona, 18-15.
Right.
At Indianapolis, 26-23 overtime. And then at Washington, week six, 26-24. Now, if they have Garoppolo...
Yeah.
We can't really play that game.
Well, people are, and they're already comparing him to Joe Montana. Stop that, please.
Hey,
just
whoa.
Stop that.
Well, that was my Facebook post.
Stop that. But it's great that there's more excitement, although, and we're watching the Niner game right now. I'm getting a little nervous here. Yeah. And we might talk about that after the break a little bit, but under 2 minutes to go, the Niners lead Jacksonville 37-27, and we're going to see how that comes out right after we take our first break on this special overtime with Nick and Bob.
The Drive with Steve Jackson.
Airport Express was sold to a company in Virginia.
Yeah, they decided they're pretty much retired, and I'm happy for them. They deserve to kick back.
Afternoons here on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Quick, sugar, those enemy agents are right behind us. Get in the car.
Oh, no!
Let's go. Just a second. What the...
You were too busy to take the car to Rick's Automotive, hmm? Yeah.
But
Rick's Automotive does free battery checks, provides honest service, even a Napa Auto Care Center, brakes, tires, batteries, everything to get your car on the road. But no, somebody was too busy.
But
Rick's Automotive, located at 6560 Railroad Avenue in Forestville.
Hello, my name is Justin Key, second generation owner of Key Auto Body in Sebastopol. I have a lot of memories of conversations with my father as he grew me to take over the reins of the business. We coined these commitments as Key-mitments. We are committed to our community and are a proud sponsor of Friday Night Lights. We do quarterly blood drives and retrofitting our facility to be the least environmentally impacting business in Sonoma County. If you've unfortunately had an accident, give me a call personally at 823-7591 or visit keyautobody.com for more information. And be assured that we are committed to helping you out.
Marin Trophies is a family-owned business with a second generation running the business now. They have traditional acrylic, glass, and crystal trophies and plaques, perfect for all occasions. But they also have flags, signs, medals, keychains, flag cases, and gift boxes. They also offer rotary and laser engraving. The only trophy shop in Marin County since June 2015. They're proud to count Marin County Sheriff's Department, Toyota Marin, Nevada Little Leagues, and Dominican College among their customers. Marin Trophies in Novato. Info at marintrophies.com.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5 94.5 KSRO.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Joe Pasquini back on this special overtime with Nick and Bob. I'm here with my son, Andrew, as we watch the 49ers, and I'm getting a little nervous here. There's a minute and a half to go, I think it said. 37-33. Jacksonville just scored a touchdown. What, 5 minutes ago was 37-13. Yes, and this is getting me a little nervous. Yesterday was an anniversary of the worst day in the history of Bay Area sports. It was from 1972, which makes it 35 years, and I did remember that day pretty well. The first game of the AFC playoffs was the Immaculate Reception. The Steelers beat the Raiders on that, as you guys and the Raider fans are still saying it's the deception. And here's the onside kick. It went out of bounds, so the Niners will be able to win that. But that's what I was worried about, the onside pick. The following game, Dallas, the Niners led Dallas 28-13 with 6 minutes to go. Everybody who was alive then remembers Preston Riley, and they ended up losing the game 30-28, and they scored 14 points in the last 27 seconds to make it close. Yeah, the onside kick went out of bounds.
I'm texting my friend that Jaguars were an onside kick recovery away from me wanting to trade Garoppolo for picks. See how quick I change segments?
So you'll make a perfect talk show host. And by the way, my son is a graduate from Santa Rosa High School, 2011, and to tell you how sports-oriented we are, and I'm not sure where we're going to go today. We could end up anywhere, but to tell you how sports-oriented we are, the night he graduated, Brandy Crawford, in his first game as a San Francisco Giant, hit a grand slam home run. And I was sitting at Bailey Field stands waiting for the graduation thing to go. And I got updates on my phone, you know, every time the Giants did something. And my first thought was, I wonder if he saw that. And 2 minutes later, you text me and you saw it. So he's been a sports fan. He's also a graduate of Sacramento State. And he does want to do this for a living sometime. He's working for... Well, you said it wasn't a CBS affiliate anymore.
It's Sports 1140 KHDK out in Sacramento.
Right, and he's not on the air yet. This is his official on-air station, so remember, you're on the mighty KSRO.
Yes.
So be good.
Yes.
But he did do so. He was the play-by-play announcer for KSSU, which was Sacramento State's radio station. He did football, basketball.
Baseball.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did do baseball, too. I don't remember if you did basketball or not, or did you?
I did girls and boys basketball.
Yeah, you had a busy year.
Yes,
And plus, you went to classes.
Yes.
And had a job.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And it's funny, actually. I got paid more to broadcast the games than the players on the field did. Just think about that.
Well, the players on the field, unless we got a scoop here, the players on the field you probably weren't making more than the coaches do, though.
No.
I mean, and we shouldn't do this to Sacramento State.
I love Sacramento State.
Let's not do this.
What I'm saying is college players should get paid.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's my point.
See, that's why I said I'm not sure where we're going to go all over the go with this. But we will act like we're talking the sports up today. Usually, you know, we're reviewing the Raider game, and I got a bad break on Christmas. We knew the Warriors were going to play Cleveland on Christmas. That's a given for the third straight year. But unfortunately, my bad break is the Raiders are being played too. So I've got a 2-hour window tomorrow, unless the Warriors have a long game, for Christmas dinner, leaving here at 3 and get back here for 5 for the Warrior game. But the Raiders, as we did say, were eliminated from the playoffs today. Jacksonville, even though they're losing here 37-33, boy, it's taken a long time to do this. Actually, Jacksonville's got 2 timeouts left, so they still might get the ball back. But anyway, they did find out that they wrapped up the AFC South today early in this game because Tennessee lost to the Rams, and that wrapped up the NFC West for the Rams. Kansas City is your AFC West champion, who I didn't pick. I picked them as a wild card. I picked the Raiders to win that. But the Raiders have been eliminated, and so their last 2 games is basically going through the motions this last 2 weeks, which a lot of people have accused them of anyway since that Washington game.
Yeah, I think talking Raiders, I don't think Del Rio's the head coach next season.
Well, there's that did come up yesterday. They said if there was a headline about a 50-50 chance, and that's another thing that's just changed so much. 3 months ago, well, the Niners were boring.
They were?
Yeah, they were.
You're trying to tell me a team that was 0-10 was boring.
Well, you can be. Well,
it's crazy.
That's a very good point. But all they did was kick field goals. And I'm going to tell you from experience of these last 3 weeks, it is more exciting when you're kicking 5 field goals in the game and winning them than it is from 5 field goals and losing it. And today actually hasn't been that big of a field goal day.
Yeah. Going back to the Raiders, too, that 50-50 chance, I think that 50-50 chance is what they're saying is the 50% of you being fired is if John Gruden's coming to Oakland. The 50% chance of you being staying is John Gruden going to Tampa Bay.
Well, you know, I That story, the John Gruden yearly rumors have weared on me, because every time there's a job opening and the Niners just scored a touchdown, so you'll hear Andrew go, yes, and they put the game away. They didn't need the touchdown. They just needed the first down to put the game away. They now lead 43-33. So it hasn't been a field goal game today.
No. Mm-mm. Actually, if I could do the math real quick, that would be, what, 13 field goals?
I don't know. This is might have been three field goals. Oh, but actually, they missed an extra point, so it's only one
Jacksonville
field goal.
Did. Oh, yeah, Niners missed an extra point.
So, and it turned into a two-point conversion. So.
With the groomers, as they call them, the John Gruden rumors, it's actually picking up a bit of steam, because there's reports that he's actually working on bringing a coaching staff together. So that's a thing, I guess.
Well, you know, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this a little later in the show. How many reports I saw with the Giants and Stanton?
Hey, that's an open wound,
I'm not sure if I believe that anymore. But as the day goes on today, the Rams are your NFC West champion. Philadelphia is your NFC East champion. They play the Raiders tomorrow night. And by the way, on Nick and Bob predictions, I picked Philadelphia to win that. The North is Minnesota, and the South, New Orleans and Carolina, go into the last week tied for first place. AFC, all the divisions are cleared. The West is Kansas City. The East is New England. The North is Pittsburgh. And the South is Jacksonville, even though they're losing to the Niners right now, 44-33. And San Diego does still have a chance. I want to say that, because I took them as a wild card at the beginning of the year.
Los Angeles.
Oh,
Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Chargers.
The Los Angeles. I was really impressed with Nick one day. He said Los Angeles every time. And I asked him, did you stand in your mirror, look in the mirror for about 20 minutes and say, Los Angeles, Los Angeles?
Yeah,
Los Angeles. But I did take the Chargers to make the – and I took some heck for that pick, make a wild card back in the thing. So,
yeah, the Chargers.
They need some help.
The Chargers are always that one team that, like, on paper they have talent to look good, and they just never can pull it together. You missed the most important clinching today, though. The Cleveland Browns clinched the first pick in the draft. They became the first team since the 93-94 Bengals to finish consecutive seasons with the worst record in the NFL.
Wow, that's, you know, we have Nick's Nuggets. That
NFL
is
Reddit,
Nick's Nuggets. So say that again. What was that stat?
The Browns, first team since the 1993-94 Bengals, so state of Ohio struggling a bit, to finish with the worst record in consecutive seasons.
Wow, that is a Nick Nugget for sure. And the Browns, they're 0-15. And I like this. I saw this on Twitter. Detroit's ready to break open the beer. Miami does champagne when the last undefeated team goes down. Detroit, since they want to keep their 0-16, but Cleveland's at Pittsburgh next week, and Pittsburgh's going to be playing for the number one seed. So that doesn't look very good for them, does it?
We'll see. You never know.
The show just took a spiral down that we're talking about the Cleveland Browns.
Well, okay, well, let's be a little more positive. The team that beat them, the Chicago Bears, they're 5-10 on the season, 4-0 versus the AFC North.
Really?
Yes. They beat the Steelers, the Bengals, the Ravens, and the Browns.
They did beat the Steelers, and that was one of those shocking ones. The scores. I'm trying. What's the Cincinnati Bengals coach name?
He's Marvin Lewis. He was there in 93-94.
That's what I was going to ask.
No, he wasn't. He's been there 15 years.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a break on the news. We got two more hours to go. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everybody. Joe Pasquini, my son Andrew Pasquini here. We're going to be all over the place the next hour and a half here on KSRO.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Christmas Eve bringing religious celebrations around the world, including at the Vatican. Pope Francis celebrating Christmas Eve Mass and comparing today's migrants to the biblical journey of Mary and Joseph. Days after the United Nations condemned President Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, the government of Guatemala says it plans to move its Israeli embassy to Jerusalem. Guatemala voted against that UN resolution. The FBI said that decision to move the U.S. embassy may have led a California man, Everett Jameson, to plan a Christmas Day attack on Pier 39 in San Francisco, a popular tourist destination, but the former Marine's been arrested. Suspects also been arrested in the Loudoun County, Virginia shootings of two sheriff's deputies as they responded to a domestic violence call. Both said to have serious but non-life-threatening injuries. And for the 62nd year, NORAD tracking Santa, he's already delivered more than 4 billion presents crossing the Atlantic to Brazil. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Have you rode the three-corner country in the bunch grass where the free cattle graze? Have you searched for something you lost and learned the high desert's ways? Trails of the world be countless, and most of the trails be tried. You tread on the hoofbeats of many till you come where the hoofprints divide.
Three Corner Rustlers, a contemporary Western novel written by Kay Hamilton on Amazon.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast, here's Tyson Engel on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Sunny skies are on the way today, though overcast at 54, 56 on the coast. Some clouds tonight, low 36, 40 on the shores. Sunny tomorrow at 62, 59 in Bodega Bay. Mostly blue skies for Tuesday at 61, 58 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Baseball, like Reggie, Queez, and Barry talking baseball. Carew and Gaylord Perry, Seaver, Garvey, Schmidt, and Bada Blue. If Cooperstown is calling, it's no fluke. They'll be with Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
Welcome to the special overtime with Nick and Bob. I'm Joe Pasquini, along with my son Andrew. His first of what we're hoping, mini broadcasts on radio, well, real radio. I don't want to say Sonoma State Radio or Sacramento State Radio. It's not real, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe, you know, to reminisce a little bit. My son, as I said, graduated from Santa Rosa High School in 2011. I got that out. And he was a baseball player. He did go out for football for a brief
15 minutes.
Does he call that a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just enough to get a concussion, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is, yeah. He came home one, he'll never admit this, and don't tell him I'm saying this on the air, but he came home one day from practice, and he was talking about he got hit, he got his bell rung, and he wasn't feeling that hot. A week later, he decided he didn't want to do football anymore, and he claims one had nothing to do with the other.
None,
yeah. But anyway, I wasn't very good in sports. I played it. I was a graduate of Cloverdale. To stay with the team, I was like the manager of the Cloverdale basketball team, which was a glorified name for Cowboy.
Your name's on more championship banners than mine is.
Yes, so my name is on a championship banner. Yeah, but you went. Yeah, well, we won't go there. But he was the all league. For the North Bay League in baseball in 2011, starting outfielder. And so he took everything a little higher level, and that's despite, as he was growing up, I was an assistant coach of a coach or of his team. But he also did that in advance. And, you know, I think about greatest events I've ever been to. You always hope to go to that big event. And until actually a couple of years ago, it was just my biggest moment was a just miss. I was in the Navy in 1979. And I know you've heard this story before, but I had a friend from Atlanta. We were supposed to go down. We were stationed in Norfolk. We were supposed to go down to Atlanta, and the Giants in Atlanta were playing down there. We were going to go to a twilight doubleheader and stay at his house over the weekend, at his parents' house. all of a sudden something happened on the ship. We had to get out of town and couldn't go to the game. And that Friday night in the Twi-Night doubleheader, Willie McCovey hit his 500th career home run that I miss. My other claim to fame is 2012. We were there to watch the Giants sew up the NL West. But you always hope for that. Go to a sporting event that will live forever, and he topped that too. Why don't you tell us about
that? Yeah, so 2012, same year. And 2012 was a fun year, actually, because I went to three games that season, and they all kind of had interesting interesting bylines to them. Obviously, you said the Giants clinching the NL West. I went to July or August game, night game, Giants against the Nationals. Ended up being Melky Cabrera's last game of the 2012 season. Because he got
now. See, I did not know that. Yeah,
he got popped for PEDs.
The season other game, was over at that moment, right?
That was the first time.
That was
the season.
The prediction.
It was the second time. The Giants' season actually ended twice that year. The first time was when Melky got popped for PEDs. The second time was when the Dodgers in August made the trade where they got Adrian Gonzalez, Josh Beckett.
Right.
That big trade, and obviously we know how 2012 finished. But June 13th, 2012, I was at AT&T Park. They were playing the then NL Central Houston Astros.
Who weren't very good.
They
were the joke of the baseball, really.
And now they're World Series. They were the worst team in baseball years ago.
And the question was, if you did something good against them, does it really count?
Yeah, and Matt Cain was pitching, and he didn't give up a hit or a walk. They call that a perfect game. And that was probably one of the – one of the coolest events I've ever witnessed.
I would guess so. And we were texting back and forth, and it was about the third inning. The Giants were already ahead 8-0, right?
Yeah.
And I texted him saying, boy, you really got a bummer of a game to go to. And actually, he texted me in the fifth inning and said something to the fact, Matt Cain hasn't given up a hit or a base runner. And I texted him, what are you doing thinking of the jinx thing and all that stuff? But not only did Matt Cain pitch a perfect game, as most Giant fans know, it is the only perfect game in the 100-plus year history of the Sanford or either Giants, New York or San. So not only does he go to a it'll be remembered forever. Could have the second perfect game could happen 50 years from now. They'll go back to the date of that game, and you'll probably be at that game too.
Oh yeah, June 13th is a day every year, no matter what. The Giants, June 13th, they could be playing a day game against whoever. They could be playing the Sacramento River Cats, and that's what they'll talk about. June 13th, and my favorite little tidbit of that season was that game, the June 13th Matt Cain perfect game. First game I went to with Andrea. That was our first ever Giants game we went together.
Tell them who Andrea is.
Andrea is my girlfriend.
Okay.
Of 6 years.
And still is.
And still is, yes. I'm still with her. She's pretty cool. We live in Sacramento. But we bought the tickets to that game the day of. So it was kind of a spur of the moment thing. So we got to see the perfect game on spur of the moment. On the flip side of that, the Giants clinching the NL West, we got those tickets in March. Remember, you got them from work.
I don't think it was March, and
it was very early.
It was early in the season, and it was from Mike Kelly in the real estate show. He gave me the choice of three tickets, and Saturday night looked good to me. And it was late in the season, and the Giants were off. It was during the season because the Giants were off to a good start, and I thought, this could be some big game, big games that late in September. And the Giants actually really ran away with the race that year, 2012.
It was a mid-September game.
There was still 2 weeks to go when we went to that game. And with about a week before the game, I thought, they're probably going to – it's not going to mean much. Because they didn't have a big enough lead to make that – it was a big enough lead where you knew where they're going to win, but it wasn't big enough that they were going to cinch it by the time – but sure enough, that week the Giants kept winning, the Dodgers kept losing, and all of a sudden we got to Saturday.
The biggest thing I remember from that day, I don't remember much from the game. I remember them clinching. It was just your ho-hum baseball game. I think the Giants won pretty easily.
Yeah, 7-2 or something.
Biggest thing I remember about that day was 2018 San Francisco Giant member Jay Bruce hitting a home run.
He has a sister, which means I have a daughter. And she was the Dodgers had to lose that day, and the Giants had to win. The Dodgers were playing at 1 o'clock. They were on the game of the week,
and
they were playing at the Reds. And our daughter, my daughter, his younger sister, as they are known to do, was being annoying. She wanted to get out of there.
Wait, Jody was annoying?
Yeah, Jody was annoying.
Wow.
I hope she's not listening right now. We're going to be greeted when we get home. But she wanted to go, and it was getting that time.
Well, it was Pablo Sandoval Lawn Gnome Day.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
See, I don't remember that.
I still got my Pablo Lawn Gnome.
But we were watching the Dodger game, and Andrew made the comment, "We will go." It was the bottom of the third inning, no score. "We will go when the Reds score a run." And on the very next pitch, I kid you not, Jay Bruce hit a home run. So Jay Bruce is signing for the Giants this year, too. Or a trade or whatever it has to be.
Don't say that. Please don't say that. Okay, I'm not excited.
You're not excited about that. And that's something we can talk about. But as soon as he hit the home run, we pretty much knew the rest of the day. And, you know, I don't remember much about that game either, but I do remember the team did their victory lap around. You guys walked down, but they did their victory lap. Mm-hmm. It was pretty neat. And that was the year. That was World Series number two. That was the year in the National League playoffs where they lost the first two games at San Francisco against Cincinnati, then won the next three in Cincinnati.
Because of the weird, there was some weird scheduling.
Yeah, there
thing,
was
right?
something for some. Cincinnati was, in a normal year, Cincinnati would have played the first two at home, then come to San Francisco, and then game five in.
And I think it had to do with the scheduling of, because that was the first year of the wild card play-in game. And I have, if I remember correctly, it had something to do with the wild card play-in game. Or something.
I didn't even know. I don't even know if I got a hold of it when it was happening. But the St. Louis series, they're behind 3-1. Barry Zito, of all people, actually Santa Rosa High School played Montgomery in football that night, and actually that night Santa Rosa beat Montgomery for the first time in like 20 years or whatever it was in football. And I was going to cover the game for YSN, but I watched Barry Zito, and the game went a little long, and the Giants won the game. And it was the famous game in Game 7 when it started pouring in the ninth inning, and they ended up winning, and then they swept the World Series.
It's as random as it sounds, when Justin Verlander is inducted into the Hall of Fame in 10 years or however further down he's inducted into the Hall of Fame, the one thing that he will never have is he lost in Game 1 of the World Series of a year he won MVP and Cy Young to Barry Zito.
Yeah. Well, that was – Barry Zito was – until that moment, he was the worst free agent in the history of sports. But he did have his one moment in game.
Well, he had his one year. 2012 was a solid year for him. 2012, the reason he was the game one starter in the World Series because he had such a good season in 2012. It was his one good year as a Giant, and to me, it made that whole contract worth it. Like 2012,
no, I won't argue with that. I because we had, they signed the contract, but he took a beating for most of his years, didn't he? When he was a Giant, let's trade him and all that stuff. But by the way, just to get you caught up on the scoreboard, Dallas has been officially eliminated from the playoffs. Seattle beat them 21-12. I do not know what has to happen next week. The 49ers won their game 44-33. And maybe I can get the stats here real quick on what I have a hard time saying his name. Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Just
21 for 30 for 242 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. Blake Bortles for Jacksonville. They did sew up the as I said, the AFC South today, 32 for 50 for 385, two touchdowns on the 49ers defense intercepted three passes to go with that. So the 49ers are now 5-10, and you know, that means if the Raiders are at Philadelphia, they are 6-8. If the Raiders lose their last two games and the Niners, who are at Los Angeles next week to play the Rams, the Niners and the Raiders will have the same record. So they're not good. Remember when we were complaining with Cleveland, who's going to win one game first?
Oh, man, that was like 3 years ago, it feels like.
Garoppolo, exactly, now in his
first five games with the Niners, because people forget he had that one touchdown pass against Seattle when they brought him in garbage time.
Right.
So his first, we'll call it four games and change because it was one drive.
Don't compare him to Joe Montana.
100 pass completions, 145 yard attempts, 1,268 yards, five touchdowns, three interceptions, and a 4-0 record. How do you like that?
I like it.
Listen.
There's a reason to look forward to
the
next
Niners
year.
Did the NFL a favor by not trading for Garoppolo at the start of the season because they're like, you know what? We don't want to be too good yet. We don't want to be 15-0 to start the season. We don't want to be too good. We kind of want to – we'll get him at the trade deadline, so then we kind of go in the offseason with a bad record, get some value draft picks, trade those away, then win the Super Bowl in 2018. Because the Niners would be 15-0 if they had Garoppolo at the start of the year. I don't even care. They'd be 15-0.
Well, they could. Well, how close some of those games were, and except for that one Ram game, most of it was because the offense couldn't. The defense was keeping them in games, except the Ram game. The offense was keeping the game. And as you can tell, we could be going anywhere. Actually, what we're doing here is, and I think I said this already, but maybe I did, what we're doing here is something me and my son have done thousands of times since he was old enough to talk, and that's talking sports. We used to annoy his mom that we talk sports so much. Hopefully we're not annoying you, and we're going to take a break and come back right after this.
The Drive with Steve Jackson.
They brought the full power of Steve Bannon and Donald Trump and Breitbart and all those other people.
Yeah.
And they got beat like a redheaded stepchild.
Afternoons here on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
This is Justin Key. On behalf of Sonny and I, owners of Sonny Pool Service, our attitude is simple. We work hard so you can play harder. By refining the art of clear water chemistry, hydraulics, and the use of modern technology, we'll take the worry out of the usual hassle and expense of owning a pool. By continuously refining our craft through extended education and partnering with green manufacturers, we'll allow you to just sit back, push a button, and do a cannonball.
Sunny Pool Service at 843-8111. The art of pure water.
Willowside Meats on Guerneville Road in Santa Rosa offers the highest quality lamb, pork, chicken, and aged beef, as well as 25 different varieties of nitrate and nitrite-free sausage and jerky. Willowside Meats specializes in custom cutting, curing, smoking, and wild game processing. Also offering custom-made sausages from your wild game. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Call 707-546-8404. 546-8404. Willowside Meats in Santa Rosa since 1969.
Hello, this is David Glass, Mayor of Petaluma, and I want to take this opportunity to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Holidays from KSRO.
You're so unbelievable. A special overtime with Nick and Bob. I'm Joe Pasquini with my son, Andrew. We're talking just about anything and everything so far. And the 49ers did beat Jacksonville today, 44-33. That's the good news for local Bay Area teams. The 49ers are now 5-10, so they won four straight, Andrew. They were 1-10, right?
Four straight.
Yeah, they won 5-10. Which means they win next week. They'll be 6-10. And I mentioned that 1980 season. I'm old enough to remember this, obviously. The Niners had back-to-back 2-14 seasons. The first one was under Bill Walsh. They went 6-10 in 1980. In 1981, they won the Super Bowl. That was the year of the catch.
The 49ers have the longest active win streak in the NFL right now.
See, you got me speech. That's another
five,
Nick.
5 weeks ago.
Are you kidding me?
5 weeks ago. Like, what was the winning streak? Like,
winning a game was so.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, winning a game, when they won that one game, a lot of fans were upset because it took the number one.
Yeah.
It put them in a bad shape for the number one draft pick. And we could talk about this trade the Niners made with New England. But it's already a good trade because it's got people thinking good things about the
49ers. People care about the Niners.
Yeah, exactly.
Plain and simple. I mean, they went from 30% field stadium at kick to 35% field stadium at kickoff. Yeah, well,
and we got our issues on that, don't we? I will say, It was a good move for the Giants to move out of Candlestick. Candlestick was not a baseball place. I froze my you-know-what off many times at Candlestick Park.
Now you get to freeze your you-know-what off with a view at AT&T Park.
Well, you know, they say it doesn't seem to be that. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's not I haven't been there for a couple of years. But Candlestick was the Niners' home, and I really miss that they're playing it. And, of course, all I get is a view from TV, so I don't care about luxury boxes and all that stuff. I do miss Candlestick, but today they said the fans were in it. The stadium has issues, of course, with
the sun.
90-degree sun pounding down, and that's a valid reason to say why the seats are empty. I don't know if I could sit it. I mean, the same angle we had when we went to our game when they played the Colts, it'd be the same angle, you know, on the TV as the TV thing. The sun would be beating. Would you sit there for 3 hours if the sun's beating in your 85-degree sun beating into your face?
If Jimmy Garoppolo's there, absolutely. No, I mean, I'm so anti Levi Stadium. I'm a huge WWE fan. You
right,
know this.
Right.
I didn't go to WrestleMania.
So if you had 51 minutes and 40 seconds for when you would mention WWE, you are the winner.
Yeah.
Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. Well, WrestleMania was there. WrestleMania 31. Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns was the main event. The Undertaker was there. I mean,
if you're looking for help on me for this, which WrestleMania
you know the Undertaker.
Was. Yeah, I know, but you want to, if you're looking for help with which WrestleMania was, I'm afraid I can't help you on that. I just know it was Super Bowl 50 there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just.
But you didn't want to go because you don't want to go to the to that stadium. Is
exactly,
that what you're saying?
Yes, yes. And it's nothing against the stadium personally. It's just I'm not the biggest supporter of Jed York. I'm not the biggest supporter of leaving Candlestick. I'm not the biggest supporter of them being the Santa Clara 49ers.
Right.
I'm very against Santa Clara.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with you that. And so, you know, he is a Jim Harbaugh fan, as was I.
Greatest coach in 49er history.
Well, here we go again. Let's not go crazy there, because if the greatest coach in 49er history would have won their trip to the Super Bowl.
Conspiracy.
I mean, Harbaugh made as big a mistake. Well, maybe not as big a mistake because they weren't at the 1 yard line. But as Pete Carroll made in his Super Bowl that they lost to New England, instead of trying to run it across, they tried to pass it across, and it didn't work out very good for either team.
Pass interference. Don't care.
No.
It's P.I.
Oh, the ball landed in the first round.
P.I.
I mean, I've got some issues about some games. But anyway, we were talking about best moments, and we talked about you were at the perfect game.
Yes.
Matt Cain's perfect game. So, and you had other moments that stand out for you?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to use the word blessed with sports because, you know, sports like.
You have been this whole generation.
Well, so here's the thing. Here's my take on it. I love sports. Sports is fantastic. It's fun. But like,
I haven't noticed that.
In the grand scheme of like everything, and I've said this before, I've been on record, sports don't mean anything. You know what I mean? They don't, they're nothing in the grand scheme of the world. You know, there's, and obviously that shows, you know, with what's happened in Sonoma County. You know, sports is a great healing thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of memorable. I mean, one of the biggest memories, you know, in my younger life was Mike Piazza's home run, 2001. You know, things like that. Sports are great for things like that, but in the grand scheme of things, sports not much. So I don't want
to. And just to clarify, what that was the first game back for the Mets in New York after 9/11.
Yes, and so. Sports have their place in society, obviously. And 2017, lines have been blurred a bit, obviously. We don't need to dive into that. But sports, fun. I love sports. So blessed, probably too strong of a word. But in my lifetime, I'm 25. You didn't get this. I've seen 3 straight NFC titles out of the Niners. Or not, 3 NFC championship appearances from the Niners. 3 World Series titles from the Giants. 2 Golden State Warrior NBA championships. Prices are expensive.
But you haven't seen any of the Super Bowl. No Niner Super Bowls.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen
it.
And I'm holding this.
This generation of sports fans that he's at are spoiled because of the success the local teams have had since 2010. But I'm holding them all responsible for the 49ers' perfect record as far as Super Bowl 5-0 going out the window.
I don't even remember the Niners in the Super Bowl. I just remember a Beyonce concert. The lights went out, and then it kind of ended. That's really all I remember.
Actually, after that was the best part, because weren't they behind 31?
Yes. Yes.
After that, it was pretty good for them.
Well, that's what I tell people, too, with the Warriors in 2016. I tell them, the Warriors went up 3-1, and then they just kind of ended the finals. They just said, three's enough.
That could have been the Andrew Driggs, too.
I did it the same thing the year before, though.
Okay.
I drove out there, yeah.
Okay, then I won't even tell the story then.
Yeah. I
give you a break.
So sports have been fun. One of the coolest going into it sporting events, because going onto a Wednesday night game at AT&T Park, Giants Astros, you kind of knew it was going to be a blowout. You don't really know. Going into it, one of the coolest sporting events I'd ever going to is Game 5 Western Conference Finals 2016, Warriors versus Thunder. And I was nervous because I had never seen the Warriors win a game, and the Warriors were down 3-1 going into that game.
Yeah, that when you told me you got the tickets for that, the Warriors were big favorites in that series. And when you got the tickets, we were thinking they'll win that series 4-1. And it turned you might see a cincher, and it turned out the cincher was threatening the other way.
Well, and the thing is, majority of that year, and you could vouch for me on this, majority of 2016, I would tell people all the way back in December, this season doesn't matter. They're getting Durant. They're going to win after this year, no matter what. Because remember, you could vouch me on that.
Yeah,
I was big on Durant. I'm a huge Kevin Durant fan.
And you know what my theory is on that. You say enough off-the-wall things, sooner or later one or two will work out. He did say before the year they won their first championship that this is going to be the greatest.
Yeah.
You were happy they fired
Mark Jackson.
Yeah. And he said, this is going to be the greatest Warrior team of all time. And sure enough.
And what happened?
Yep.
And they were the greatest Warrior team of all time for another year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't care about what happened in that finals, because the 73-9 Warriors team, better than the 2015 team.
See, he's a lot like me.
But they're worse than 2017. The Warriors are in a very rare place where they can go four consecutive seasons with, this is the best team this franchise has ever seen.
Yeah.
Because, yes, 73-9, fantastic. That's cool and all. I would take the 2017 Warriors in a heartbeat. Kevin Durant over Harrison Barnes, without a doubt. But being a big Kevin Durant fan, I've been a big Kevin Durant fan since he was at Texas, when he was a Sonic and when he was at OKC. I was really excited going into that Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals because, I'm going to get to see Kevin Durant play. First time in my life. Fantastic. Warriors win. Game's over. This is kind of my big story from that game because Warriors won. It wasn't necessarily a close game. I remember, the game's over. I'm like, oh, man, I wish Kevin Durant played better. Didn't really notice him, whatever, Kevin Durant. And as I thought that, they're going, leading scorers, Oklahoma City, Durant, 40. And I'm like, Kevin Durant's that good. He dropped 40 points and I didn't even notice. Yeah. And so then Warriors got Kevin Durant. The rest is history.
I don't think anybody realized that we're Warrior fans how good he was until we see him every day now.
Especially defensively.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he'd be the best player in the league. If he had to be, he doesn't have to be with the Warriors, but we've seen that the last couple of weeks with Curry out. He's had to step his game up, and until Friday night, actually.
Saturday night.
Okay, whatever.
Saturday.
That was last night.
Yeah, last night.
But, yeah. Anyway, we're going to have to take a break for the news coming up here on KSRO. We've got one more hour with Family Night here on KSRO. Joe Pasquini and his son Andrew's coming up after the news.
Never felt like this before. Something's got a hold on me that won't let go. I never thought it could happen to me. My heart grew heavy within misery. I never thought it could be this way. Love, you're gonna put a hurting on me. And I said,
this is FM News Talk Radio at 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Pope Francis linking biblical times to the modern world during his Christmas.